Hello, captive friends, and welcome to episode 99 of the Global Captive Podcast, supported by the EY Global Captive Network and hosted by me, Richard Kutcher. We have two guests with exciting news to share and analyse with us over the next 20 minutes. In November, we reported on Captive Intelligence that the first Italian captive had been formed. So later, we will hear from Gabriele Fria, Head of Insurance and Risk Financing at Enel Group, who is going to tell us why they decided to ultimately re-domesticate from the Netherlands and the process involved. But first, I am pleased to welcome Ellen Charnley, President of Marsh Captive Solutions, back onto the pod after the world's largest captive manager launched ReadySail earlier this month. ReadySail utilises Marsh's mangrove protected sail company facility in Washington, D.C. and promises, with the help of AI, a super fast setup time for new sail formations. Ellen tells us how this product was developed and how they hope it will be utilised and why it might lower the barrier to entry for the middle market. So a belated Happy New Year, Ellen, and welcome back onto the Global Captive Podcast.
Thanks. Happy New Year to you too, Richard.
Great to have you back on. So we're only halfway into January, and I know you will have some kind of concrete stats to share and figures to share with us at RIMS in May. But how do you reflect on 2023 in captives, and what are your expectations for 2024?
Yeah, we had another strong year in Marsh Captive Solutions. We had another record year of formations. Yeah, we're still tallying up the numbers, so we're not ready to release any numbers just yet. But we think that's the fourth year in a row that we've had extremely strong numbers. So looking forward to getting the data and analyzing all of that. I expect a similar year in 2024, just piggybacking on the momentum that we've had and the inquiries and the activity that we've had. So we're sort of seeing another strong year as well in 2024. I don't really see anything majorly changing to that based on what we've seen so far or towards the end of the year.
So Marsh has obviously been busy at the start of this year with the launch of ReadySail, which in tandem with your DC domiciled mangrove protected sail facility and conditional pre-approved regulatory licensing from the regulator in DC, is going to allow a super fast formation time, we're told. So can you talk us through what ReadySail is and why you have launched it?
Certainly. So yes, you're right. It is super fast. We're very excited about it. And we're super pumped to have launched it just very recently. So having said that, it did take us several years in the making. So it's not something we've just been able to turn on a switch. Basically, ReadySail is part of our ICAS platform, which stands for Insurance Company as a Service. And we've been building this technology platform for a couple of years now. And ReadySail is our first product that we've launched from that platform. So in its simplest form, it's a technology platform. It's nothing more complicated than that, although the workings behind it are, of course, quite sophisticated. And it allows companies to do exactly what you said, form a sail captive literally within minutes. So unlike the traditional method of forming a captive or a single parent captive process is that you potentially engage in a feasibility study, you do some analysis with a consultant, potentially you make some decisions with stakeholders, then decide to implement, wait for the process of that to take place, and then finally you have the entity implemented. This cuts that time down from weeks or months or sometimes even years, depending on where you're planning on forming the entity, literally down to minutes. And so it does two things. Not only does it speed it up, but it also allows companies to drive down the cost of the formation to a much, much more affordable price, such that the whole premise of what we've been able to build here is that we've driven down the cost and the price so much that we're now sort of turning the process around from what I just described to why don't you form it now, even if you don't know what you want to do with it. So it's ready for you, even as an empty shell, because it's cheap and quick to do. So that's sort of our theory or our hypothesis with it.
Okay, that sounds really exciting and interesting, and I can see where this is going in terms of how it's going to be used. So what is the role then that AI is playing in enabling this streamlined setup process?
Yeah, so we have a number of technology components in the platform. AI is just one of those. And we use a combination of public data and proprietary risk assessment algorithms and digital signatures and AI to evaluate the applications and then generate human-friendly risk assessments to enable the reviewers of the applications to have everything at their fingertips to know whether to click yes or no to review an application. And that enables not only the Marsh captive reviewer to click yes, but also enables information to be more human-friendly and ready for the regulator also. So it's a simulation and evaluation that AI is doing.
And so how useful do you expect this faster setup process to be, and what kind of use cases or scenarios do you expect to see?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, it's available to all types of companies, industries, segments, you name it. We're not trying to limit that. But our hypothesis is that because we've driven down the cost and lowered those barriers to entry, we're now appealing to the segment of the market that doesn't currently have captives, which is potentially that those smaller companies or those middle-sized companies that have historically thought that a captive or cell captive is just too far out of their reach from a budgeting standpoint. So now we're sort of saying, again, why wouldn't you? We've driven those costs down and we're now making it available to you. So that's what we anticipate. But nevertheless, it doesn't mean that it's not available to larger size organizations who maybe need something very quick. So larger organizations that don't have a captive could easily form a ready cell, again, not know what they need it for. It can sit there on the shelf. And then perhaps in their next renewal in a few months' time, they need a property policy or they need an excess layer filled or part of their program filled with a simple policy. They can activate ReadyCell and they're off to the races. So we could see a number of different use cases that are appropriate for clients.
So let's say then, Ellen, that this is a great success this year in DC, and there's possibly demand for it in other jurisdictions. Is there the possibility to roll this out in other jurisdictions where you already have mangrove PCC facilities if it proves successful and the respective regulators are comfortable with it?
Yes, certainly we could see that. There's no reason why we wouldn't explore those possibilities for other jurisdictions if we see it as a success and if we see the need in other jurisdictions. Absolutely.
So just before we finished, Ellen, I just thought, just going back to the AI and the use of tech kind of more broadly, is this a bit of a window into where captive formation and day-to-day operations processes are going? Because I know tech is a passion of yours, and it's something you've been working on a lot in recent years at Marsh Captive Solutions. How much potential is there for greater efficiencies to be made, and how are you looking to develop these?
Yes, it has. And we've really ramped it up this past year in 2023 with the appointment of Chris Farron as our Chief Digital Officer within Captive Solutions, and then the digital team around him. So we are focused not only on the sort of the client-facing products like ReadyCell, but also on the back engine as well, and creating efficiencies and optimization around that from a technology standpoint, of course, which uses components like AI in the background as well. So we are striding ahead, making huge leaps, and we're excited about the journey, and we expect to make a lot of progress in 2024 on those fronts as well.
Fantastic, Ellen. Well, it's been great to have you back onto the Global Captive Podcast. And hopefully, when I see you at RIMS in San Diego in May, you'll have a few examples of ReadyCell to share where cells have been set up in a matter of hours.
Yes.
Look forward to seeing you in San Diego.
Yeah, look forward to it too, Richard. Thanks very much.
Thank you to Ellen for coming back onto GCP. And as I said, I'm excited to hear about use cases of ReadySell in the future. Now, while France dominated much of the European captive discourse through most of 2023, Italy came to the fore right at the end of the year with the licensing of its first two captives. Italian energy giant Enel Group was the first to have its reinsurance company licensed in the country. And so I invited Gabriele Fria, head of insurance and risk financing, to explain why they were keen to make the move from the Netherlands and the process involved. I should clarify that since our interview, which was recorded in December, Enel has completed the merger of its former Dutch captive, with AM Best assigning a financial strength rating of A- excellent to the new entity. So, Gabriele, can you tell us a bit about the history of Enel's captive activities and how Enel Insurance is used today?
Enel Insurance NV, which is the current Dutch captive of Enel, was born back in 2011, and it was a result of a cross-border merger with Enel Re Limited, which in its turn was created with a very small capital in Ireland. Today, also as an effect of the combination with a former captive company of Endesa, occurred in 2011, the size of the company allows it to underwrite most of the operational risk of Enel Group perimeter in terms of property damage and business interruption coverage. Obviously, we have a material presence with different levels of retention also in the other lines of risk, like third-party liability, environmental liability, cyber risk, D&O, marine, personal accident, sureties, etc.
Fantastic. So quite a well-sophisticated, established captive then. We reported on Captive Intelligence in November that Enel had established the first captive in Italy. Why were you interested in exploring the possibility of having the captive in Italy rather than keeping it in the Netherlands or a different jurisdiction?
Well, firstly, I'd like to point out that it has always been very easy for us to operate in the Netherlands, as we always had a very, very good relationship with the regulator. I have to say that the idea came a couple of years ago when we focused on possible creation of efficiency in the cooperation with all the other areas of the group. So we decided to explore if there were any legislative or regulatory obstacles to the business in Italy. And so we started some informal discussions with the Italian regulator. The rest of the story is the goal we have achieved.
Fantastic. So how long did you assess the ultimate option for, and why did it ultimately make sense to you to have the captive in Italy?
As I said before, it has been a very long and intensive period of analysis. So we had to calculate all the pros and cons of this solution, all the opportunities and the difficulties. As a matter of fact, I do not believe that everyone at the time was confident that the success would be achieved. I think that the real sense of the whole story is that now the path is traced and other groups will follow us and other captives will soon be set up in Italy, stimulating a more conscious approach to the risk management and the risk financing activities, especially in moments of market hardening as the one we are living today.
And did you have any concerns then, Gabriele, or about being the first reinsurance captive to be domiciled in Italy?
Actually, we have no concerns at all, since all the discussions with the IVAS, the regulator, the Italian regulator offices, have always been inspired by a full transparency and with a very strong spirit of mutual collaboration. Therefore, I would prefer to speak about pride and willingness to be a pioneer in this new sector of activities. Obviously, since we are the first captive in Italy, we fully recognize that there are no infrastructures at all for captive management services yet. This means that the whole sector will need to be built with our contribution. We just can think about the accounting principles that we have to adopt, which are the Italian ones compared to the international ones where all the providers are used to use.
You mentioned obviously that transparency and openness in discussions. What discussions did need to take place with IVASS, the regulator, to ensure that everyone did understand the role and the purpose of the captive?
IVASS officers are extremely professional. when we're prepared and fully aware of the peculiarities of the captive business and governance. So the discussions were were therefore lean and oriented to the common goal. All the information about the scope, the role, the projections, the organization, the governance of the company were duly provided in the due course of the application process. Clearly, all the parts of the project required rigorous and detailed and precise documentation.
And we mentioned that Enel Insurance in the Netherlands still exists today. When do you hope to complete the merger with Enel Insurance?
Crossing fingers, we expect to complete the transaction by year end in order to have the full activities based in Italy and operational by the 1st of January 2024. It's now a matter of paperwork, and all our colleagues from the legal department are assisting us to this goal.
Great. No pressure then, Gabriele. You've got lots of time recording on the 12th of December. You mentioned about being a pioneer and being kind of proud of that fact. Do you expect and hope to see further Italian-owned captives move back to the country in the future?
According to what we can read on the press, other Italian groups are beginning to evaluate the Italian market. There have been several contacts made with the Enel by risk managers from other organizations who have expressed interest in this option. Due to these factors, Italian captives are expected to increase significantly in the very next future.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that, and that's what we hear as well. Why do you think there is greater interest today in Europe in having captives in the same country as the parent group? Obviously, we've not just Italy is one. We've obviously heard about this in France for the last 2 years as well. Why do you think there is that trend?
Compared to the past, all the states, many states and governments are now certainly more interested today than ever before in providing more attractive conditions for captives, not only in the traditional locations. We are noting what France is doing or has done already, and what Spain, UK are prepared to do. So company will certainly ride this trend, and I think it's because we are acquiring a stronger sense of risk management and culture of risk management.
Yeah, absolutely. So just finally then, obviously you have set up the captive in Italy without there being special captive legislation, but do you expect there will need to be legislation or new regulatory guidance in the future from AIVAS to kind of regulate captives proportionately?
Well, Enel has been the first group and will probably remain one of the largest in any case, which is why it will be considered by AIVAS as a best case and will represent the minimum level required in the future. We will accommodate positively in any case any necessary proportional regulation for the future, but we cannot expect it.
Fantastic. Well, Gabriele, thank you very much for coming on to the Global Captive Podcast.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you to Ellen and Gabriele for joining me on episode 99 of the Global Captive Podcast. To make sure that you are staying up to date with all activity in the Global Captive Insurance Marketplace, make sure you are visiting captiveintelligence.io and signed up to our twice weekly newsletter. Stay safe, stay well, and see you next time, captives.